Let me pray as we come to this passage together. Father, thank you so much for your word, and especially on this day as we hear of the great hope of the resurrection. Now we pray, Father, for new insights, new spiritual depth in our life as we come to terms with what today means for us and for this world. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, life is full of surprises, isn't it? Yes. They're not always good, though, are they? There's the unexpected bill that comes in, the unexpected pay rise, the unexpected pregnancy, the unexpected failed pregnancy, the unexpected promotion at work, the unexpected retrenchment. In a single day, isn't it annoying and sometimes good how a normal day can become your best ever in a moment, or it can become your worst ever in a moment? Isn't it perhaps not surprising at all that your cup can be half full one day and half empty the next? Life is this roller coaster, but really, it's not surprising, is it? Because life's always like that. It's always been like that, and it probably always will be like that. Life, as much of a roller coaster as it is, and as surprising as it can be, is really no surprise at all. Because we know life often throws us curveballs. The unexpected nature of life is unexpected. Easter Day really for us started Good Friday on the cross where Jesus died. Finishes today, the celebrations with the resurrection, and continues, of course. And we can often think of it being the worst day followed by the best day. But it's not the sort of event we can simply say, well, that's life. Just stuff like that happens all the time. It doesn't, does it? Easter is the story of the supernatural, of things that do not happen every day. In fact, it's a story of an event that happened once, and once only. It's unique. And so, if there's any day that's more extraordinary than another, it's the celebration of Easter. Luke 24 shares with us the responses of a few different people on Easter morning. And the first people, if you want to grab your Bibles, they're just in the seats underneath you. And we're on page 1060. Page 1060. And the first people we meet are the women. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and some other women who went to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body with spices and herbs and all those things, oils. When they get to the tomb, the stone's been rolled away from the entrance and the body is gone. And two angels say to them in verse 5, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, he has risen." And then they say to the women these amazing words in verse 6, "Remember? Remember how he told you?" Now, when the women heard those words, I'm sure they did remember. But I'm sure on Good Friday they weren't looking at Jesus dying on the cross and saying, "Oh, he's dying, but it's okay, he's coming back. He told us several times." There was no conversation like that on Good Friday. People, Jesus' followers, even though Luke records for us three times when they were told that Jesus would die, suffer and die and rise again on the third day, even though they were told that, they weren't walking around on Good Friday seeing Jesus dead saying, "It's okay, he'll be back." But then in verse 8, we're told this about the women. Then they remembered his words. Then. Would have been handy to remember them a couple of days earlier, but now they remember them. And they go off and they tell the apostles, our second group of people in the story. And how do the apostles respond? Verse 11. "But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense." There you go. Not even surprised. It's just nonsense. Except Peter. And we're told Peter ran to the tomb, and he saw the empty grave, and he saw the strips of linen, and you think, oh, Peter's got it. And verse 12, what does Luke say? "Peter went away, wondering to himself what had happened." His women come running into the room. "He's risen, he's not there, he's just like he said, he's risen." Peter runs off to the tomb, empty tomb, strips of linen. Oh, what's happened? I don't understand. What's going on? Eyewitness testimony just doesn't help on a day like that. And then we've got the third group of people. Two people, Cleopas and some other guy, not told his name, walking down the Emmaus Road. They were talking together about everything that had happened, and Jesus walks up to them, but he's cloaked. They don't recognise who he is at this stage. His identity is withheld from them. And Jesus says, "What are you guys talking about?" And look at their response in verse 18. "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" In other words, are you living on a rock, under a rock somewhere? Like, how do you not... And in fact, Jesus was living behind a rock. How do you not know what we're talking about, these guys say to Jesus? How do you not know? Everyone is talking about this. This was big news in Jerusalem. This was an event that no one missed. In verse 21, they say, however, really how they are feeling about the day, which really just gives us this insight into the absolute sadness that was there for the first followers of Jesus on the first Easter day. They say in verse 21, "We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." See, Jesus wasn't just a friend or a prophet or a good guy that everyone missed. He was the hope of their nation. He was the hope for peace and freedom. He was the hope for removing the oppression of the Roman government. He was the hope, and now he's dead and his body is gone. And the surprise for those two men on the Emmaus Road is not that Jesus is dead. The surprise is that he hasn't saved Israel, that he's gone. And Jesus gives them a lovely, caring response in verse 25. Great words. Verse 25, "How foolish you are," he says. Didn't the prophets talk about this? Didn't the Christ have to suffer? And he explains to them from the very beginning the teaching of Moses and the prophets and the whole scriptures. He explains to them that this was the plan. "How do you not see this?" he says to them. "Isn't this what was foretold? What the prophets have spoken about? I'm not waging war against a local government. This is the war against sin and death. I'm not here to remove the Romans and make your life a little bit easier. I'm here to deal with sin and death. How do you not get that? How foolish you are." And then Jesus sat down with them and ate, and their eyes were opened. Imagine them sitting down for that meal that they once shared with him just a few days before. And Jesus said, "This is the last time I'll share this meal with you before the kingdom of God." And here they are, they sit down, they eat with him, and their eyes are opened, and they understood, and they are excited. Their hearts, says, their hearts burned within them. And so they went straight to Jerusalem, found the rest of the 11 apostles and told them everything. Verse 35, we read, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Cleopas. You notice what Jesus does in all of this? He's died, now he's risen. What does he do? He doesn't walk around and zap people. Believe, believe, believe. He doesn't force them to believe. He doesn't somehow do a magic trick where suddenly everyone believes and understands. What he does every single time, and what the angels do for those women at the tomb, is simply say, "Remember the scriptures." He sat down with those men and he explained the scriptures to them. And in the next passage that we didn't get to at the end of this chapter, he does the same with the apostles. He doesn't do some magic trick. He explains the scriptures and says, "This is the plan. This is what it always was." And all he does is open God's word and show them. Angels say to the women, "Remember what he told you." On the Emmaus Road, Jesus opened up the scriptures. It wasn't like Jesus walked into the room of the apostles on Sunday, on Easter Day, and said, "Look, things went horribly wrong a couple of days ago. Not good, but it's okay, I'm back. We had a change of plan, little hiccup, and here I am. Let's go." It wasn't anything like that. Jesus is saying to them, "This is no surprise. I told you this would happen. Look at the scriptures. Listen to the prophets. This was an event that was planned from the very beginning. So today, is today really a surprise? Every week on a Wednesday night, I do that horrible job of taking the bins out. You do that? Yes. Probably less than half the people in this room do that because, no one wants to do it. Anyway, I love doing it because it's serving my family. It's awesome. I take them out on Wednesday night. Although I made my son take that out the other night. That was good when they get that old. Wednesday night they go out. Thursday morning, 5:30 a.m. usually. Truck goes past, stops. There's big bangs and everything. And as it empties into the bin, I can almost remember what we put in there sometimes, just hearing the sound of it. And in the morning, usually in the morning, I get out there after the garbage truck's well and truly gone, and they're home tucked up in bed probably. I get out there and I open the lid of the bin. They're empty. I pull them in. Not once, never, ever, in all of my life, have I ever gone out on the morning after garbage night, opened my bin, and said, "Who took my garbage?" I have never got back on the phone, rang council, and said, "Look, I put my red bin and my yellow bin out last night, and everything I had in it is gone." Never have I done that. Because it's not a surprise. Because I expect it. It's the plan. It's what you do. You expect you put your garbage on the curb, someone comes along and picks it up, and it's empty. It's gone. It's dealt with. Easter's no surprise. Now in chapter 24, you can understand why these many people were so surprised and not really understanding. This was an extraordinary event. Even if you were told 1,000 times of what was going to happen, you would still be surprised on the day. But 2,000 years later, here we are with the scriptures, not only the Old Testament, but the New Testament, the testimony of Jesus and his disciples and all who followed him. Are we really surprised at Easter? Good Friday was garbage night. What did we think would happen to our sins on that day? Jesus took them all on him. The garbage of the world, past, present and future, just dumped on him. And Sunday morning, the tomb's empty. Jesus is gone, and the garbage is gone. Are we really surprised? Because that was the plan. Jesus emptied himself of all majesty, became the dumping ground for our sin, and he dealt with it. Gone. And not once shall we wake up in the morning and say, "What happened to my sin? Where's it gone?" It's no surprise, as we know. I saw a big sign out the other day, caught my eye because it was just so simple. And it was outside a storage facility, one of those places that rents garages and storage containers for stuff. And it's a big banner, really big banner. 3 words on it. If you're going to do a banner, less words is better. It really has an impact. "We sell boxes." I thought, wow, that's an awesome sign. Isn't it? That's so simple. We sell boxes. Yes, we do. And we know that you want boxes. And we have them. So we put a sign up so you know that we sell boxes. Now, if you were going past that place and you were looking for boxes and you saw that sign, wouldn't that be just about the happiest day of your life? Yes, boxes. We sell. They sell them. They say that. It says we sell boxes. And I want boxes. Easter time is the time that God hangs out a very simple sign that makes a very simple statement. It can't be confused. You don't drive past that sign, "We sell boxes," and think, "I wonder if they sell boxes." It's simple. It's straightforward. It's obvious. And God's sign says, "I forgive you." That's Easter. It's so simple. 3 words. "I forgive you." And we should see that sign at Easter and think, "Yes, I need forgiveness." But so often we just drive past. Every morning, God hangs that sign out for us. Every morning. So it's not a surprise when we wake up and we see that sign, not literally, out the window, looking out there next to the empty bins. I forgive you. No surprise. But he doesn't do it because we might want forgiveness. In fact, our human nature is to go against that. We're self-sufficient. But he does it because he knows we need it. That we need forgiveness. We don't need boxes. Not really. But we need forgiveness. And that's why we should never stop being surprised on this day. In fact, every day. Not that the grave was empty. Not that Jesus rose from the dead. I mean, half the churches in the world have an empty cross on the front of them because he's not there. It's not a surprise. The surprise is that he loves us. The surprise is that he loves us so much that he says, I forgive you. Give me your garbage. Let me take it away. And don't be surprised that I'll do it because I said I would. Be surprised that God loves you every day because we don't deserve it. But he does. Like the women, we can hear these words and we can simply remember, as they did, oh yes, that's right, Jesus loves us. He forgives us. Or you can walk away like Peter and thinking, gee, I wonder what happened. I wonder what that was really about. Wondering about. It's a good thing to wonder about things. But what God wants for us is the response, those two men on the Emmaus Road, that our hearts would burn with that knowledge every day. Never cease to be surprised. But God loves us. Hangs out a sign on our life every day saying, I forgive you. That is great news. Let me encourage you. Every time you see one of those signs, we sell boxes. Every time you go and bring those bins in and they're empty, woohoo! Don't forget that most surprising fact at all, that God loves you. And that he hangs that sign out for you. I forgive you. That's what it's all about. But let me pray. Heavenly Father, we celebrate today great news. That Jesus is alive, that he's conquered death and sin. He's dealt with it all for us. Father, help us never to stop being surprised at the fact that you love us so much that you sent Jesus to die for us. Father, as we remember this Easter day of resurrection, help us never to stop being surprised that you offer us eternal life. We put our trust in you. And Father, to your sign that says that you forgive us, we say thank you. Amen.